Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on the KTTH smartphone app. President Donald Trump, former President Donald Trump, and now probably future President Donald Trump, was indicted by a grand jury in Manhattan in what is very clearly an abuse of the system. And reaction, it's rolling in. That is what's trending.
What's trending in Trumplandia?
If you understand what's on the line here and the implications of moving forward with such a remarkably weak case that has been elevated to a felony after the federal prosecutors from two different agencies refused to move forward and charge, the people who understand the implications are rightly expressing their disgust, their anger, their concern. Folks who hate Donald Trump so much that they're willing to sell out their own country's legal justice system, the legal system, they're the ones who are out there on Twitter right now celebrating, going wild. Tomorrow on The View, it's going to be insufferable. Oh, it's going to be insufferable. But you've got Ron DeSantis, who's in a really tough spot because he wants to run for president. This almost certainly means he should not run for president and will not now run for president. Wait until Trump is out of the picture. He just sent out a tweet that said the weaponization of the legal system to advance a political agenda turns the rule of law on its head. It's un-American. The Soros-backed Manhattan district attorney has consistently bent the law to downgrade felonies and to excuse criminal misconduct. Ain't that the truth? Yet now he's stretching the law to target a political opponent. Florida will not assist in extradition requests given the questionable circumstances at issue with the Soros-backed Manhattan prosecutor and his political agenda. Now, that's not going to come into play. Extradition is not on the table because Trump will certainly and very obviously go into New York and get fingerprinted, get his mugshot taken, and then just walk right back on out. He will make this into a political issue, even more so than it already is. And he's right to. President Trump would be right to point to this as not just the weaponization of the legal system, but it's a story about how a party is abusing the system to go after a political opponent that they fear. This is not what you see in a country like the United States. This is what you see in the most corrupt of countries, which now we just took one step closer to becoming. If we allow for this to happen in this way without the necessary pushback, coming out and speaking out against this, going on radio, going on TV, going in print, going on social media to say that this is wrong, regardless of one's political position, we are one step closer to becoming irredeemably corrupted. This is a weak case by everyone's standard, even Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, but he does not care because this is someone who not only hates Donald Trump, but he is a partisan, fringe, progressive, who campaigned on going after Donald Trump. He said this in 2021.
Whoever has this job, are they going to convict Donald Trump?
Look, that is the number one issue. I'm the candidate in the race who has the experience with Donald Trump. I was the chief deputy in the attorney general's office. We sued the Trump administration over 100 times.
And what's... you believe it should happen?
I believe we have to hold him accountable.
What I love is, and I don't know why Charlemagne the God is someone that anyone would ever quote in any serious way, but politicians on the left go on a show. I'm assuming it's a syndicated show that people maybe listen to. He tweeted, even he's being upfront and blunt, charges are weak as, calls him Teflon Don. This is not going to stick. You don't have to go to Charlemagne the God for his legal position. You go to someone who is a brilliant legal mind, Jonathan Turley from George Washington University. He's a law professor there. He's a Fox News contributor. And he points out this is a weak case.
Political leaders were actually calling on Bragg not to go forward and to let Georgia possibly take the lead. I actually think Georgia's not that strong of a case, but that doesn't say much. Anything is stronger than this. If we're right about the theory behind the indictment, you couldn't have picked a more anemic basis to go after a former president.
Adam Schiff, who repeatedly illegally leaked information to left-wing media outlets so that they can smear President Trump when he was in office. He tweeted, "The indictment of a former president is unprecedented, but so too is the unlawful conduct in which Trump has been engaged. A nation of laws must hold the rich and powerful accountable, even when they hold high office," unless, of course, they're Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton, "especially when they do. To do otherwise is not democracy." Okay. Will you be getting charged for anything anytime soon? Oh, I'll push that aside. People are calling this news sobering on the left, as if they weren't the ones who are pushing for this. This is not going to end well, folks. This is an indictment that will change the legal system forever. Because they've just shown, Alvin Bragg just shown, that it's now okay to politicize, to use your partisan ideological spin to go after your political enemies, to try to put them in jail. The next stop is just skipping the trial altogether and just throwing your political opponents in jail. That's where we're going if this is allowed to stand. Now, I don't think ultimately it will, in the sense that I think obviously Trump is going to be acquitted because it is, in fact, a weak case. But that the media thinks it's okay over at MSNBC or CNN and they're not calling this out the way that they ought to, it does not portend well for this country's future and for our freedoms. It's the truth. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Tacoma?
Another teen was shot to death in Tacoma. Although, remember, crime is getting better. Nothing to see here. We've got a plan. Tacoma just saw its 10th homicide. Half of those, 5, were minors. 5 murdered teenagers in a city where there is little urgency being discussed publicly by leaders. I have to assume, and I certainly hope, that behind the scenes, you've got the mayor, you've got the council who are talking about this and working in conjunction with the new police chief, trying to get a hold of the crisis. But we are not hearing anything being pushed publicly with any sense of urgency while a 5th kid was just killed. Now, we don't have many details as to what happened, at least not yet. We know it happened yesterday afternoon, a little after 1:30. It happened at an apartment complex where cops were called because of multiple gunshots. When they get there, they find a 16-year-old boy who, as of now, hasn't been publicly identified. But they found him on the ground, clearly had been shot, and he was unresponsive. They declared him deceased at the scene. Don't know what led up to it. Don't know if this was targeted. Don't know if he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. We don't have any of those details. But Cairo 7 spoke to a family friend and obviously is just distraught over this.
It's a tragedy. It's not no good sight. He was a great kid, nice smile and stuff like that. Very happy. He really meant a lot to a lot of people.
Just 16 years old. Which is why this is a community that now is going to be rattled as a result. Here's the Tacoma Police Public Information Officer, Wendy Haddo.
This family, friends, fellow students, the ripple effects, right, go throughout this community and broader.
Yep. What will come of this? Where's Jamal Bowman? Where's Marilyn Strickland? congresswoman who represents this area, why is she screaming in the halls of Congress about how we got to get crime under control? Or do you not want to point a giant spotlight to the crimes that your policies are helping or help creating? It's true. They are. We have light on crime policies. We have a general culture that seems to permit this level of lawlessness. You have, especially when it comes to juveniles, a position of never wanting to punish. If you do end up moving forward with any kind of punishment, you say, oh, we'll avoid any sort of juvie or jail time. Instead, we'll put someone in restorative justice. They'll do some program where they learn how to finger paint. And if you've got paint on their fingers, they're not going to pick up a gun. You think I'm joking? Look at some of the restorative justice programs out there. We have a state that has lawmakers on one party side bringing people out of jail. They're removing them from jail. They're trying to get rid of harsh penalties for gang members. Ironically, for gun violence. They're moving forward to go easy on drug dealers on campuses. That's how twisted and backward this all is. And yet, when it comes to a mass shooting, they're going after the guns. Meanwhile, they're going easy on gun criminals who are seen as future Democrat voters. Tacoma is going through this the same way so many other cities in this state are going through it. Whether it's Yakima or Spokane, Seattle, we're seeing more and more victims. Victims of crime that is almost always preventable. Not always, but almost always. In the context in which the crime surge that we're experiencing is happening, these are preventable crimes. Which brings us to what else is trending.
What's trending? Cannabis.
You had Tacoma's House of Cannabis, which is a pot shop, if you couldn't tell, because it's, well, no, it is kind of on the nose. Yeah, House of Cannabis, yeah.
That's literally saying exactly what it is.
It's not made of cannabis.
No. Well,
that's what it
sells. No, it definitely isn't, actually. It kept those guys out.
Yeah. Well, they got hit on Tuesday. It was a failed break-in attempt, but it was an attempt nevertheless, one that's going to cost the business owners a lot of money. Surveillance footage was posted by the owners of House of Cannabis. It showed about half a dozen or so degenerates coming out of two cars. They just hop out. They're all wearing masks. And they start to break in or try to break into the front door. Now, they start to throw rocks. They hit the window with what looks like a crowbar or some kind of tool. And they were able to break the window, but they weren't able to get inside because the door has steel bars welded onto them. And so in the end, these losers basically had to flee. Now, it's going to cost the business about $1,500 to repair. That on top of any potential loss of revenue, because you might have to close down even temporarily to deal with this. On top of that, the owners come out and said, look, I've spent like over $20,000 just repairing doors and windows to keep people from breaking in. And there seems to be a lot of folks out there, Kevin Heidrich points out, one of the owners, that seems to think that we're just swimming in cash. This is a pot shop. We make a lot of money. But as he points out to King Five, this is a kind of business that's taxed in a very different way than some others. Keep in mind, there's no tax write-off for damage repair. And this dude is spending a lot of money repairing damage.
We are disallowed from taking many tax write-offs that normal businesses take. In the conjunction of businesses, marketing, advertising, damages to business, lost product, damage from fire, flooding, etc., even labor are taxable as profit.
But he sells weed. I mean, lots of potheads in Washington State, certainly in Tacoma. Aren't you swimming in dough?
Very hard to make a profit in this industry, contrary to popular opinion, specifically because of federal tax.
Now, when he says federal tax, he's talking about an income tax. There's no excise tax on weed. But the truth is, even pushing aside the federal tax, it's expensive to do business in Washington just as a business. But weed gets taxed locally or from the state at a significant level. And it is way cheaper to buy weed on a street corner than to go into any of these stores and purchase it the legal way. And so, sure, you're going to have some people who will go into a store because they're not going to feel comfortable. I don't know why anyone would feel comfortable going to just some random drug dealer. But it's done nothing to bring down or to bring in potheads who otherwise were going to drug dealers before the law was passed. They passed the law that people are still going to drug dealers because it is way cheaper that way, because you're getting taxed so hard at the state level. And because they cannot do business with a bank the way that any other business can, they are cash heavy and they're the targets. And at the same time, just yesterday morning, I think it was like 3:30 in the morning, out in the Fremont neighborhood of Seattle, Ruckus Recreational Cannabis was hit. Officers arrived to find a stolen Kia smashed into the store's front doors. Now, that is rare. We don't often see stolen cars being used in that way.
Well, and Kias are nice, hard-to-steal cars,
especially
too.
Kia, yeah. They're known for that. But we definitely have not seen more than, or well, let's see, divided by 2 times 0, 3, divided by pi times 0.3.057x divided by 12 emoji. We've seen no less than 1,000 of these cases, if I'm doing the math well, within the last year. We're seeing this a lot. It's happening all the time. And again, we can point to very specific laws that say if you steal a car, you don't even have to speed away if a cop catches you. You can just drive off. They cannot chase. And these bad guys, these criminals, these low lives, they are stealing cars, driving them into storefronts, quickly getting out, stealing what they can, and then leaving. And when you do it in areas that don't have a lot of police officers on duty because of the impact of the defund movement, well, guess what? They know that they're likely not going to get caught. Detective Gulpin from SPD spoke with Cairo 7.
It appears that 3 suspects were able to make entry into the business, and an unknown amount of merchandise was stolen from the business. We don't know the value as of yet. Unfortunately, we do not have descriptions as of right now of the 3 suspects.
They're going to get away. They almost always do. They almost always get away. Now, Ron is the owner of the business. He's lived in this neighborhood for a while, and he's kind of freaked out.
This is very bad, very scary, you know. And this area is a very nice area. Yeah, I live from a long time.
Now, how's this for just incredibly bad luck or coincidence? Ruckus has another location in Seattle. It's on Capitol Hill neighborhood. 2 years ago, on the same exact day, a truck was used to break into that store in an early morning robbery or burglary. What are the odds of that? Before you answer, remember, we're talking about Seattle. The odds are actually pretty high in relation to what they normally would be. That's nuts. That's absolutely nuts. And again, remember, he's going to have to pay for this. Oh, well, that's why you have insurance. Yeah, the insurance doesn't quite work that way. And when you keep going to the insurance company over and over and over again for repair, for any kind of compensation due to no fault of your own, well, at some point they're going to end up dropping you. That's what ends up happening, because you are too expensive of a customer to sell insurance to. Insurance is not there to be used every single week because you keep getting broken into. But you do 2 times, could it be the same one, the same person, I wonder, or people?
I mean, it seems like it's on the table because they're probably not in jail, right?
But it's a different location. But is it someone like going around and saying, hey, you know what? I thought I hit these guys. I don't like that they've got one that hasn't been hit. I'm known as the pot buster, whatever. We got to come up with a cool name.
Yeah, that was not a good nickname. Well, that was not a good first try.
Now, in my
crumple
defense,
that one up. Try again.
In my defense, the first nickname that came to mind was not radio appropriate.
Well, tell it to me in the break, at least.
I had to self-edit right in the moment. For all I know, all the bosses who are in town are listening right now, and I could have said something that was deeply inappropriate. And I chose not to because I have a filter. On the radio, at least.
Oh, yeah. On air, but off air, I don't know.
Here, this is, I'll tell you off air, and then you can react. This is what I was going to say. Hold on, guys.
Oh, boy. See? Yeah, that's probably a good thing you caught that one.
I'd be fired if I said that.
Definitely. Well, especially with the big bosses in town.
1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text messages. When we come back, we're going to dive into the big local. But remember, 4:45 every single show, we allow you to pick the stories that we discuss. Story number one, stranger sent Redman man hundreds of cards for his 90th birthday. You know, obviously, I'm going to make fun of that story. Or just to give you a little bit of a mix up in the tone, Iowa teen accused of fatally beating teacher to testify against classmate. He's turning on his fellow alleged murderer. Which story do you want me to cover? Send me a text. Tell me your answer. 1-800-465-8770.
Sammamish, Kent, Olympia, Everett.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Centralia, Lakewood.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, online at alpineclean.com. It's a part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start... oh, my God. Get it out of the studio. Get it out.
Did this happen again?
Get it out. I told you not to bring the owl in here. You think, because our first story is about an owl. Oh,
I thought it would be funny.
Yeah, it's not funny. These things are dirty.
It's kind of funny.
No, they're dirty and they're angry, especially the one at this park in Langley. The South Whidbey Parks and Recreation District, they're warning park goers of an aggressive and territorial owl. That's the language coming from the district. But they say it's unlikely to stay in the park areas that it's been spotted so far, so you're all pretty much going to be a target. Now, the advice they're giving people who might be interested in going to this park, it's just not practical, nor is it reasonable. Now, this is a story that comes to us from King 5, so it's missing a crucial piece of information, like which park they're talking about. I don't know how you do a story about an owl that's attacking people in a park, but you don't tell people what park they're talking about. It's a South Whidbey Community Park. It's known as Castle Park. Now, in a Facebook post, the Parks and Recreation District is telling you to avoid the two huge swaths of this park in which the owl has been seen. It says just don't go into those parts of the park. But they're so large that they're rendering the park useless unless you're using it for the baseball diamond. And I'm assuming there's like a soccer field as well there. That's how big the locations are where this owl has been spotted. And it's not a spotted owl. But they say, do not worry. The district said people just shouldn't come to the park. we're handing over the park to an angry owl.
Just gonna let them have it.
Hey, here, it's yours, owl. My God. It says it's an attempt to see the owl or allow owls to allow them their nesting season to progress peacefully. Just leave them alone. This is not a zoo. I mean, it's nature's zoo. Huh?
There's no better solution. We'll just let the owls have the park.
There was an incident in, it was either Issaquah or Mercer, Issaquah, right? In which the owl was just like dive bombing.
Yeah,
like literally,
yeah, I think dive bombing is what they use.
They haven't said that about this owl yet. They're just saying it's territorial. And maybe it's just giving everyone a look. And like it's going, Like that kind of, I think that's
what
the,
was it? Sorry.
I think that's what it is. And then at the end it goes, ooh. They say if you are going to just ignore us and show up, you should walk with umbrellas, wear protective eyewear, and protect your pets, especially the small ones, which is both terrifyingly awful, but also a little funny, if I'm being honest. I don't want anything to happen to little Chihuahua, but I can't get out of my head now an owl dive bombing and picking up a Chihuahua that someone put in a nice little sweater. And they use the sweater with the talons to take it away.
See, I pictured the umbrella, some old guy swinging an umbrella at an owl.
No, it says walk with an umbrella. Now, they never say, is it to hit the owl with, or is it to open the umbrella and put it on top of you so the owl can't come in and hit you?
I
can't figure out.
You'd open it up and make sure it doesn't attack you or poop on you.
But you don't want to hit it with the umbrella?
Well, I mean, if you have to. I feel like it's versatile in that way.
But it's not versatile in that way, because if it's open, you can't swing it.
Well,
it's pretty ineffective at that point.
Yeah,
you have to close it and use it like a bat or a golf club.
So carry two umbrellas and wear goggles.
But then what are you going to do to hold the dog on
home.
The leash? No, I'm bringing the dog.
Bring an umbrella for the dog.
I have an idea.
Oh,
put
gosh.
This in the Jason Rant's idea book that we should probably implement at some point, but most likely won't. Wear the umbrella like the little hat umbrella.
Yeah.
But make it big, but with spikes on the end, so if the owl comes down.
Owl preventative hands.
Yeah, otherwise. See, I don't have to invent a new invention. I just have to make a current one better.
I like it.
And then also, you know, on the top, put two little places for, like, cups and then two long straws.
So it's a drink hat, umbrella hat, owl
it's
repeller?
It's defensive. It provides a defense against the owl and your thirst.
Pretty good. It's pretty good.
No, I know. I got a good idea. A woman from Ashford, Washington, and we're going to guess the population on that because I'm very good at that. A woman from Ashford, Washington wanted to save about $12,000 on dental surgery. She apparently needed to get it, but $12,000 for her was obviously, for most people, is a lot of money. So she decided to go to Costa Rica to get the work done. Apparently, it's much cheaper there. And after doing the research, she thought it would be just as high quality work that she would get here in the United States. However, she ended up in a coma and in even more debt. So during this oral surgery, and they don't name specifically what it was she was getting, but I'm assuming it was oral surgery. She goes in. And then she has a cardiac arrest for about 30 minutes. But as she tells Fox 13, it's actually way worse.
Kidney failure and a lung collapse. I couldn't talk. I had a skin graft on my arm. Cardiac arrest for 30 minutes. I had chest tubes in. I'd had several strokes. What else? Jeez. I don't even know. Oh, and then I was intubated.
Okay, then. Michelle Mackey might sue. She's got a lawyer. Because not only did she have to deal with that, she says she's still dealing with some significant complications.
The bottom half of my eyes, I can't see. And then when I do see, it's like looking through the wrong prescription, I guess.
I mean, you might just need glasses, but maybe this makes me a bad person or a worse person. I can't imagine Costa Rica is to blame for all of that. Something else is up here.
Like what?
She had to have been sick with something. You think all that happened? What were they doing? What could possibly...
Filling a cavity?
But just go with whatever is the most invasive kind of dental surgery there is. Just whatever that is, just imagine that's what happened. Okay. What could that entail to result in everything she just mentioned? A skin graft?
Yeah, that's where it gets a little wild.
Your kidneys stopped working? Like,
there's some sort of infection. Maybe the anesthetic was crazy. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to Costa Rica. I'm not going to the dentist after
this. It's not to say that I trust the medical professionals in Costa Rica, because I don't. I think most people feel uncomfortable going to any doctor when they're outside of this country, just naturally, with some exceptions of Western Europe, I guess. But even some European countries, I want to go to a doctor there.
But,
But something just doesn't seem... I can't imagine they're to blame for everything, right?
I mean, logically, probably. But you can see why somebody would want to go... If you're having a major surgery to potentially save $12,000, you can see why someone... You can see the appeal, at least, right?
How often does that end up well? We've now done... Granted, the last story that was similar to this was ended up in a significant tragedy where people were murdered. The family that went into Mexico.
Yeah, that was...
And that was I think, for... I think it was like a weight loss thing.
Yeah,
right?
Those are really popular down there.
Like, is it worth the risk? There's a reason why it's cheaper. And it's not just because of the economic realities. You can have a whole lot of valid complaints about our healthcare system in this country. I'll back most of them. But our people are trained really well. I wouldn't trust doctors a decade from now because of all the DEI stuff that we're going to teach you how to be an anti-racist doctor. And we're going to let people in on the basis of skin color or an identity. I plan to not go to a doctor probably after I turn 50, just doing the math in my head of who's going to be a doctor. But right now, we're pretty okay. And the standard is very high for training purposes before you get put in a position where you can operate to the point where you might charge 12 grand. It can't be that bad. I refuse to believe Costa Rica is that. Does this happen to everyone in Costa Rica? Does everyone go
assume.
In for... Right?
I mean, it's like she lost a boxing match to Mike Tyson or something.
Did you pick the one awful dentist? How do you do research from this country into another country? You may not speak the language. Like, what? How do you even vet? Do they have Yelp in Costa Rica so you can look it up? And if so, I hope you gave them a bad review. Finally, we seem to have a lot of stories lately of strangers helping people who are suffering from some kind of medical emergency. This time, it happened on Mount Baker, where a Ferndale man was going skiing, and then he ended up having a cardiac arrest. Now, the event itself, the cardiac arrest itself, actually happened back in February, February 6th. But within the last few days, he just met everyone who had helped save his life. Now, again, it's a King 5 story, so they don't tell us a crucial piece of information, like, how old is this man? I'm guessing he's in his 50, 60,
right? Yeah, something like that.
So his wife said that he's completely healthy, that he goes skiing all the time, tip-top shape, and yet he goes into cardiac arrest on a black diamond, but was lucky enough to have some people nearby who just were able to help. And they were helping him while the ski patrol and the emergency responders were able to get there. He ended up having to be helicoptered out of this location. And he was in a position where, you know, this poor wife, her name is Lori, talking to King 5. She was just, I mean, imagine what she was going through.
I think about it, I lost him twice that day, you know. It's part of my, half of my heart and my soul.
So, I mean, with this poor woman. Now, somehow, this guy survived. And I say somehow because Dr. Marvin Wayne, who's the medical director for Whatcom County EMS, he told King 5, like, dude probably should be dead.
The number of people that have arrested on a mountainside that I'm aware of in Washington State that have walked out of the hospital, it's got to be somewhere between 0 and 1.
So half? It's between 0 and 1. That's not even a 1.
I think he thought that sounded cool.
Why doesn't he just say it's rare?
You could say that.
Between 0 and 1 is not a human being. It's not a number. You can't have a quarter of a person.
Well,
a quarter of a person survived a cardiac arrest. So, why not say between 1 and 2? Or how about this? How about this? Just say 1.
Just say, yeah, he's the only one I know.
His name is Bill Bishop, the guy. He thanked everyone who just happened to be there to help skiers. There were a couple off-duty nurses. They say he was saved by an AED administered on the mountain and then ultimately flown by helicopter for emergency surgery. He is happy to be alive.
I'm happy that I can make everybody's effort worthwhile. I better be a good boy, a good man.
There was something devious about all of that.
That was kind of weird at the end, wasn't it?
Okay, God bless him. I said I was going to guess the Ashford, Washington population. It can't. I'm somewhat familiar with Ashford. It's less than 650.
489. Wasn't bad.
When the smaller the population, yeah, we're giving me a larger bit of room to be in the ballpark. I'm counting that as a win.
Close.
God, I am so good at guessing populations of cities, including cities I've never really heard of. This one I've heard of, although I might be confusing it with Oregon, so it might have just been a completely random guess. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. When we come back, you get to pick the story I discuss. Story number one, strangers sent a Redmond man hundreds of cards for his 90th birthday, which means, of course, I'm going to mock it. Or Iowa teen accused of fatally beating teacher will testify against his classmate he turned on. Which story do you want me to discuss, serious or frivolous? 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text messages. By the way, it is a Thursday, which means we've got video up on Facebook.com/Jason Rancho. It's brought to you by your local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, and Nunn Better Tax Resolution.
Net. You pick the topic on the Jason Rand Show.
Indeed you do, and you decided to go with a crime story. Coming to us from Fox News about an Iowa teen accused of fatally beating a teacher will testify against his classmate who allegedly was also involved. They say one of two Iowa teens charged in the 2021 fatal beating of their Spanish teacher over a bad grade. He's going to cooperate with prosecutors. It was a revelation that came yesterday in court. Jeremy Goodale agreed to testify against his former friend, Willard Miller. It wasn't immediately clear whether or not this is part of a plea deal. That, at least according to the Des Moines Register. Jefferson County Attorney Chauncey Molding, that's a lawyer's name if I've ever heard one, made the surprising disclosure during a hearing in which Miller's lawyers argued that evidence against the pair should be suppressed because of their constitutional rights being violated. Mr. Goodale has turned state's evidence and is listed as a witness against Miller, Molding announced, noting that Miller's lawyers should no longer make assertions on behalf of Goodale, the local paper reported. Now, this happened when they were both 16 at the time, or no, I think they were 15 at the time. They were charged in this murder. Noma Graber gave apparently them a bad grade. At one point, according to the police, they lured her at the school, then ambushed her. She was known to take daily walks in this one part, so they jumped her. They had a bat and they beat her to death. It is so disturbing and so just gruesome. They end up getting caught and charged as adults because this is Iowa. This is not Washington State. Now, the reason why this story caught my attention was, number one, it's especially brutal, right? It's just that's going to catch your attention. But just think about how they would be treated here in Washington State. 15, 16-year-old at the time, they're currently 17 years old. In Washington State, they would not be considered to have a strong enough or developed enough brain to know that what they did was wrong. Thus, they would not be subject to life in prison or the death penalty. We don't do death penalty here. So they would not be subject to life in prison. I think, assuming they're guilty, because remember, they're still being charged, it's alleged. These are kids who should never be out of jail, ever. I don't care how old they were when they committed that crime. At 16 years old, you know not to beat someone to death with a baseball bat. You know that. And them getting a second chance when their victim never will just seems to me to be a great injustice. And yet in Washington State, they would not face life in jail. In fact, in Washington State, they might be out in 20, 25 years. And when you go in at 17 years old, or they'll probably be 18 by the time all of this is done, that's a lot of life left to live once you're released 20, 25 years later. Should they get that chance? This isn't some kid who committed a simple assault that is deserving of jail time, but not enough to put someone away forever. This wasn't someone who was accused of a robbery where there were no victims of violence. These are two pretty horrific kids. I don't care that they're kids. It's a horrific crime. And I want them to suffer a consequence for it. But in Washington State, they wouldn't. Now, the only thing that maybe bodes well for my position is they happen to be white. And thus, they're not part of a marginalized community. Thus, maybe some judge would go hard on them. And I suppose it also depends, you know, at least initially, on where this crime would have occurred in Washington. Imagine if, God forbid, it happened in King County. You think there would be any significant consequences here? You think that they would use these two to send a message to anyone else who might even contemplate doing something so despicable and ghoulish? The trial starts April 21st. I'll be paying attention to this one. I am kind of curious where it ends up going. And I don't know. Let's say there was a plea deal involved. That must mean they don't have the evidence, at least not enough to certainly convict. It might also mean that maybe one didn't participate as much as the other. It's an interesting story. 1-800-465-8770 for your texts. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show.